Well, good morning, everybody, once again. We've already said this morning, just encouraging and shouting out to all the people who are a part of our fellowship who can't be here with us this morning, those who either are recovering from surgeries, Deb and Rose and others, those who are not feeling well. And again, it's kind of a dreadful thing that the holiday seasons are a struggle for some people. Then when people aren't well and not feeling good, it even makes it worse. So we're just going to continue to pray and believe for each and every person to receive a touch from the Lord this morning. And so we want to just continue to pray God's blessing upon that. I shouldn't be surprised. I told Dawn when I was home the other day and we were talking, I literally, when I left last Sunday, and usually it doesn't even take that long, I'm already thinking about the next Sunday. I'm thinking about what God's laid upon my heart, what I'm supposed to be preaching, what I'm supposed to be doing, because for me, every other day almost seems like Sunday. That's how fast it goes in between time. And the thing that I said is I knew that I was going to continue talking about hope, and maybe it's just because I'm more aware of it because that's where I'm focused, but a lot of the things that I read and see, even Nikki Gumbel in the Bible in One Year, the one day was talking about hope and the reason that we have hope, and it was just a confirmation, and I just said, you know what, Lord, I'm actually grateful for the way that you speak. I'm grateful, Father God, whether it's just me or whatever, but your Holy Spirit is speaking something to the church today and that we can actually grab a hold of and take a hold of in a world that desperately needs hope. Amen? Chris was sharing the encounters with people this week. Folks, that's just a small portion of, there's so many people out there who are desperate for hope. And so this morning I want to actually continue to talk about the thrill of hope, and I want to talk about hope from the past, hope in the present, and our hope in the future. The Bible's not just a book. It's not just any common book. It's a treasure book. It's a book that's filled with divine wisdom. It's a wellspring of hope for all who turn its pages. And I'm more aware all the time. I'm guilty of this. We come into certain times of year, and it's Christmas time, and there's passages of Scripture that we quote and that are popular to us. Isaiah actually was prophesying, and you'll see two of those, Isaiah chapter 7, verses 14 and 15. He says, "All right then, the Lord himself will give you a sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child, and she will give birth to a son, and we will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us." How many of you know that at Christmas time we quote that a lot? We talk about Emmanuel, God with us. Then Isaiah chapter 9, he goes on to say, "For a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His government and its peace will never end, and he will rule with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David for all eternity. The passionate commitment of the Lord of Heaven's army will make this happen." As I said, both of these are passages that are used at Christmas time when we're talking about the birth of Christ. But how many times do we actually miss the fullness of all that God intended when we look at these passages and actually see the context in which those verses were given? If you have your Bible this morning, I want you to turn to Isaiah chapter 7, and I want you to see something this morning, again, that we probably rarely see. Isaiah 6, favorite passage of mine, and starting in verse 1, "In the year of King Uzziah's death, I saw the Lord high and lifted up." And there was something that God was stirring within Isaiah about who he really was. But we come into chapter 7, and we start in verse 1, and it says, "In the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzzah, king of Judah." And as you read on there, there were companies of people, vast armies, coming to overtake Israel at the time. If you look at verse 2, it says, when the house of David was told, Syria is in league with Ephraim, the heart of Ahaz and the heart of his people shook as the trees of the forest shake before the wind. How many of you ever have this overwhelming sense of hopelessness? If you put yourself in this time, these people had an absolute sense of hopelessness. These vast armies who they had no way had the ability to come into battle with and to fight against. And in response to that, the prophet Isaiah comes, and I'm not going to read all those. You can read it and look for yourself. The prophet Isaiah comes and tells Ahaz, ask for a sign. Any sign. Ask for a great sign. Just ask for a sign. And Ahaz says, no, I'm not going to put the Lord to the test like that. And in response, Isaiah comes back, and this is where you pick it up. And the start of verse 7 where it says, all right then. All right then. If you won't ask, if you don't think it's too much of a test, I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to tell you about a sign. And he actually talks to him about Emmanuel, God with us. What I want you to see is here, how many thousands of years ago, God was speaking to a people who were desperate for hope. And here we are, again in 2023, this Christmas season, and God is still speaking hope through this passage because he's telling us that Emmanuel, God is with us. You read on in the verses and the chapters that come, and you'll find that he goes on and he talks about, in chapter 8, the coming Assyrian invasion. And you get to verse 11, fear God, wait for the Lord. And then he comes into verse 9. And all this is in response to a people who, in one sense, have no hope. A people who are fearful about being overrun and overcome. How many of you read a newspaper, get on the internet and see all the doom and gloom, and especially a lot of the anti-Christian stuff that's in our media today? And how many of you can get fearful and think we're going to be overrun? We're going to get overrun. But here was God's response. He said to this, he said, each of these titles is attributed to the character and the nature of the person we just sang about this morning, Jesus Christ. I love that song, I speak the name of Jesus. But for us, when we're speaking the name of Jesus, we're talking about the wonderful counselor. Any of you need counsel today? You need godly wisdom? The Bible says we have a wonderful counselor. Not only that, we have a mighty God. God's not fearful about what's happening. God's not bothered by what's taking place. We have a mighty God. As a matter of fact, if you read in the book of Psalms, Psalm starts out and it says, the ruler in heaven sits and laughs and scoffs at those who are making plans against him because he's a mighty God. Never fearful, never worrying. We have an everlasting Father. Everlasting forever and ever and ever. And we have a Prince of Peace who's ultimately able to give every single one of us every day, if we take time to focus on him, to focus on his word. Where does peace come from? Peace actually comes when we have a hope that's steadfast and sure in Christ Jesus. I can have a peace in all of that. And all of these things are things that when we think about and we're looking at, that God is actually doing. See, if you did a study in Hebrew, the original Hebrew word for hope is tikvah. It's a beautiful word that carries the connotation of three things: expectation, anticipation, and trust. It's the word that actually was used in Jeremiah 29:11 that people quote often. For I know the plans that I have for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you hope, plans to give you expectation, plans to give you anticipation, plans to give you trust. Same word in Psalms 103, verse 5. I wait for the Lord. My soul waits. In His word I put my hope. It's used to express the psalmist's hope and trust in the word of God. David actually talks a lot in Scripture about meditating on the word of God. We live in a day and age that's filled with so much noise, so much confusion, so much everything. You ever taken time, because I think this is what was happening, that the psalmist was sitting there in quiet expectation, reading the word of God and sitting there and allowing hope to build within him and to fill him because he had confidence in the word of God. I'm not saying I always do this well, but you know, too many times in our prayer life we come to God with our grocery list and we talk to him and tell him all the things, and then before he even has a chance to speak, we say, "Thank you, Lord," and we just rush off. God's actually saying, "Wait, listen, let me speak to you through my word." This is what he's talking about with hope. What about for the present, hope and help in today's life? The season of Advent, we know Advent was a time of expectant waiting. We actually celebrate through the Christmas season what the people of long ago actually were waiting for, which was the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what we as believers are waiting for in this Advent? We're waiting for the return of the King. Aren't we, church? We're waiting for the return of the King. I know Dave Oliver says that we're not going to spend eternity singing. But when I sing that song, Song of Heaven, I actually just imagine myself there. It's going to be thrilling, beyond thrilling. Because the person that we sang about and worshiped and did all that type of stuff, we're going to be there. And we're going to be around the throne. Can you imagine? We're small in numbers today. How many of you thought our time of worship was just absolutely powerful? Can you imagine having myriads and myriads and thousands of people and angels and all kinds of stuff all around the throne of God, and we're singing and we're worshiping and the presence of God is there flooding every single person? I think, wow, I have a great longing and expectation for that. We want to consider the sustaining power of hope. Hope is not just for the good times, but for the difficult times as well. I don't know whether it was original with Art. Art used to say, we build foundations in the good times, so when the bad times comes, we have a fortress that's actually able to sustain us. This is hope. When we are faced with challenges, disappointment, losses, hope reminds us that we are not alone, that God is with us, and that He has a plan for our lives. It's in these moments that our hope in Christ becomes not just a comfort, but a necessity. Think of the Apostle Paul when he penned these words in Romans chapter 8, verses 22 to 25. We know that everything God has been waiting until now in pain, like a woman ready to give birth. What a graphic description, especially for any of you that have actually been in there in the final hours, minutes, whatever, prior to a woman giving birth, and knowing that there's a lot of pain involved. This is a picture that he's giving us. Not only the world, but we also have been waiting with pain inside. We have the Spirit as the first part of God's promise, so we are waiting for God to finish making His own children, which means our bodies will be made free. We were saved and we have this hope that if we see what we are waiting for, that is not really hope. People do not hope for something they already have, but we are hoping for something that we do not yet have, and we are waiting patiently. Almost sounds confusing and tongue-tying. Paul's saying we have a hope and we already have it. It's not hope if we already have it. But we don't have all that we're going to have. We haven't gotten our heavenly bodies. We haven't made it to our eternal home. So yes, we have a hope that we rest in, but that's not all of our hope. We have a hope for a future of something in Jesus Christ that we hang on to today in the present. Theologian Georgian Maltoma once said, "Genuine hope is not blind optimism. It's hope with eyes open which sees the suffering and yet believes in the future." Think about this. For those of us, when you have been in situations and times, the desperation and the longing, and you say, you know what? My hope isn't a blind hope. For those of us as believers who have already had people who have gone on before us, and we know where they are, we have a hope that's a real hope that one day I'm going to see them again. That's hope, is it not? That's hope. It's not ignoring the fact that they're suffering. If anybody knew suffering, the Apostle Paul knew suffering. He tells us in Corinthians about how many times he's been shipwrecked, beaten, imprisoned, stoned. And yet all of those things paled in comparison to the fact that he had this hope, a present hope, that he was so grateful for what he had in Jesus Christ. You see, we need to choose to focus on the promises of God. And again, that's why I continue to encourage people every day, do what? Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Why? It's promises. It's God's love letters to you. It's God speaking to you. So I have hope because I know the promises. I know what God is speaking. It's about looking beyond the visible and tangible and anchoring our hope in the unseen and the eternal. Charles Spurgeon once said, "Hope itself is like a star, not to be seen in the sunshine of prosperity, only to be discovered in the night of adversity." It's not that we don't need hope when everything's going great, but when we really long for hope is when it seems like the world is falling around us. There's three dynamics that Paul actually was expressing in this passage in hope. First one is patience. If we have hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently. Patience is not a passive waiting, but an active and hopeful anticipation of what's to come. I keep hoping. I'm patiently waiting. Perspective. Hope allows us to see our hardship from a different angle. It reminds us that our struggles are not meaningless, but part of a larger story of redemption and hope. When we view our hardship through the lens of hope, we can see the opportunities for growth, for learning, and for deepening our faith. Where do you grow most? Do you grow most when you're on the mountaintops? No, we don't. Painfully so, where we experience the most growth in our Christian life is in the valley. And oftentimes, the deeper the valley, the deeper the growth. Isn't that true, church? So it's perspective. It's perspective in terms of knowing what God is doing and the fact that God's not oblivious to what we're going through, but God's actually working in and through us. It's resilience. Hope gives us the strength to keep on going, even when the going gets tough. It gives us courage to face our fears, to confront our doubts, and to stand firm in the face of adversity. those of you that did the Bible in 1 year and the last week ago, and the book of Daniel. There's two great things that I always think about when I'm reading Daniel and say, would I be that bold and would I be that confident? I know that we refer to them as Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, which was the name that they were given by the Babylonians. But when they wouldn't do what the king ordered, and the king became furious and said, if you'll renounce your God, you'll be delivered. And they said, and he actually gave them time to think about it. How many of you have said, I think I'll sleep on it for the night? They didn't say that at all. They said, no, we don't need to think about it. Our minds are made up and the decision is sure. Our God that we serve will deliver us. And even if he doesn't deliver us, we're still going to serve him. Think about it, church. Is that resilience and hope? Daniel, when they threw him in the lion's den, same thing. I'm not going to renounce my prayers. I'm not going to pray in secret. I'm going to open up my windows like I have three times every day, even before you made this idiotic decree, and I'm going to stretch out my arms and pray to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Why? Because he had a hope, confidence. If you do a word study in the Greek that's used for the word hope, it's elpis. This term is used throughout the New Testament to denote a confident expectation or trust. Almost the same thing we saw in the Old Testament. Hebrews 11:1 used to define faith as the assurance of things hoped for and the conviction of things not seen. You ever had anybody when you were talking to them about Christ and you were sharing Christ and they ask you difficult questions and they say, well, if I only knew the answer to this, then I'd believe. You know my response is, I don't know the answer to that. But my Bible says that faith is not being able to see it all, not being able to touch it, smell it, feel it, any of those things. But it's simply believing that what he said is true. Folks, our walk is a walk of faith. That's what he's talking about in terms of our assurance. In Titus chapter 1, verse 2, it refers to hope for eternal life, which God, who does not lie, promised before the beginning of time. This passage, among others, underscores the depth and certainty of the hope we have in Christ. Future, holding on to hope. Unseen hope is the hope that clings to the promises of God, even when the promises seem distant or obscured by the trials of life. Unseen hope is like a lighthouse in the midst of the storm. Even when the waves are crashing and the wind is howling, the lighthouse stands firm. It's like guiding us, directing us, helping us to find safety. This kind of hope we are called in to hold on to, a hope that is unshakable, unmovable, undiminished by the storms of life. I don't know how many of you think about things like this. I do. I look around our church and I see all of the different people and the trials and the things that they've been through and some of the things that they're still going through. And I think, you know, there are people in this world today who, because they got disappointed and didn't grab hold of hope, walked away from the Lord in the process. But for those of who have gone through the trials, have gone through the tribulations, and hold fast, can't you say that that's a hope that's growing, getting stronger, getting firmer, getting better? Because there's a maturity in my God, I'm trusting and believing in you. Unlike the world hopes, which are uncertain and often unfulfilled, our hope is in Jesus, who is sure and steadfast. We have confident expectations based upon the promises of God. I love this quote C.S. Lewis said, hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. I remember years ago witnessing to a guy, and we would go back and forth all the time, and he says, Jim, he says, what are you going to do if you get to the end of your life and die and find out everything you believed in and lived for wasn't real? So I'm not going to do anything. So, but my question to you is even more important. What are you going to do if everything you believed and didn't believe, and your unwillingness to recognize the nature and the gift that Jesus Christ has given you, what if you live your whole life denying that and you die only to find out that it absolutely is real as what he said it was? You, my friend, have lost everything. Think about it. We have a confident expectation. It's transformation power that changes us from the inside out. It's not that we have this big smiley face on the outside. There's something on the inside that's taking place where God's power is growing and moving. And we don't always attribute it to hope, but that's what it is. It's hope in Jesus Christ. It's not a product of willpower or determination. Rather, it's the divine gift of grace bestowed upon us by a loving God and whose promises we're holding on to. It impacts others. It's like I said, when you're going through difficult times and people ask you, how do you get by? What do you tell them? I get by because I have a faith in Jesus Christ. I'm holding on to the promises. I have an expectation. And it's a light to those people who are living with no hope. I've said so many times in the last numbers of years with all the things that are happening, how do people live who have no hope in the power and presence, the promises and the future that we have in Jesus Christ? How do they live? I don't know. But we as Christians need to realize that we of all people are to have hope. I want you to think about this as we leave today. I want us to hold on to the truth that we have in Christ that's not in vain. It's not wishful thinking. It's not blind optimism, but a firm assurance, a confident expectation rooted in the promises of a faithful God in the face of hardship. Paul, in his letter to the Romans, said this, "Remember, God's love for us is immeasurable. His grace is boundless and her mercies are new every morning. He's not a distant God, but a loving Father who is intensely involved in every detail of our life. He sees our struggle, hears our prayers." And this is where that scripture is, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy as you trust in him so that you may overflow with the hope that comes in the power of his name." Can we say amen to that today?
Amen.
And the last thought this morning. Go in peace, live in love, serve with joy. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Folks, I pray today that the hope of the Lord Jesus Christ, especially when we're using scriptures during this Christmas season that were promised decades, thousands of years ago, to give us hope, that we of all people walk in the hope and the power of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? Father, thank you, Lord, today. Thank you, Father, that even during our times of worship, Lord, when we sense the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to know the reality of who you are and the fact that you are the God that you've declared that you are, and we worship you, we exalt you. Father, I pray today that wherever situation that each and every person finds themselves in, if we are discouraged, even depressed, that we find our hope our confident expectation in the promises of a faithful God who will do all that he's declared and said that he would do. Father, I thank you that as we go forth today, that we go in the peace, in the presence, and in the power of the Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. God's blessings to you.